Well, this weekend, LitFest takes over Printers Row in the South Loop, an annual festival that's part book fair, part author speaker series. There's plenty of amazing writers in attendance, including my next guest, who you wouldn't necessarily expect to be at LitFest in Printers Row. Instead, a few blocks east at Soldier Field, former Bears defensive lineman Israel Adonijé is done playing football, but he's taking the lessons he learned on the field and translating them to the written word. Adonijé will be at LitFest with his new series of books geared towards kids called The Dream Kids Adventures. The books, the two first books in the series, are called I Love Football and I Love Me. And they are all about teaching self-worth and self-confidence to the 2 to 6-year-old range. I can't wait to ask about how those readings are going. Adonijé breaks the mold of Jock. Yes, he played 11 years in the NFL, but he's created several businesses and products like his comic books called The Protectors, and also IF Charities, which for the past decade has been raising money for charity in the Chicago region. A lot going on for the Chicagoan by way of Canada, by way of Nigeria. Israel Adonijé, my guest tonight at the big table. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So where does this come from, the idea? I mean, because I knew you had a comic book background. I know you share that with Lance Briggs and others on the team, team you played with. But where does the idea of creating a children's series come from?
Well, it really started my sister. I had three girls, that are 2 to 5, and the comic is a little bit out of their reading level, so I wanted to create something for them. So I took some time to think, what did I want them to learn from whatever I wrote? And that was like the lessons of loving self, and just coming from a place of love. I really think that love as a philosophy is a great foundation for all of us, and really stands to make our world better. So that's where it all started. I wrote it actually as poems first. So I Love Me, a special kid with lots of gifts for all the world to see. From head to toe, my light will glow bright and beautifully. So I went through and I wrote these poems. I Love Me, I Love Numbers. And just then I created the characters. I kind of sketched what they'd look like. 6 characters in this elementary school environment. And then I found an incredible artist in Renzo RF, based out of Peru, who brought them to life in a fantastic way. And that's how it all started.
It's amazing. I mean, you don't think necessarily of the business opportunities after the NFL. I mean, a lot of people who are going to be authors are going to write about their experiences, write about memoirs. Maybe they'll get into writing about certain issues, but children's literature is not necessarily the first place I would think a defensive lineman playing the NFL would go. But I mean, this idea of love and self-love, especially, I mean, those are, and you also mentioned self-confidence. At the core, that is what sport, football, team, those kind of things, at the core, before you get to the big lights and Monday Night Football, that's what it's about.
Absolutely. And so many of the lessons learned in sport, football, I mean, for me, correlate and translate into success in life, and having great self-confidence and self-value is big in dealing with peer pressure. It's big with dealing with challenges and understanding that when you fall, you can get back up and you'll be okay. And there's the next play is still coming. And that although you lost this game, those things are invaluable lessons learned in sport. And the goal is with these characters, with these stories, we hopefully can teach some kids those lessons and do it in an exciting way.
Were those lessons easier to come by for you? I mean, you're a big guy, big kid, I'm assuming, but I mean, you played sports at a young age. I mean, were these lessons, when you think back to your childhood, were they instilled in you? Were they things that you sort of valued and kept with you as you went on in your career?
Absolutely. I look back. I mean, basketball was my first passion. I was cut from my first basketball tryout. I didn't make the team. And my parents, my father is not, well, he plays tennis, but football and basketball were like sports that he kind of looked down at, like, oh, he wasn't interested in us playing those sports. But even though I got cut, my parents were like, still go out there and go try. I ended up becoming the team's manager. So I kept all the stats on the sideline. Okay. Then by the end of the year, we had some injuries. I ended up getting on the court and playing grade 9. And by grade 11, 12, I was the captain of the team. So, those lessons strengthen your resolve.
I mean, that lesson, and you hear that a lot with especially successful athletes, the idea that early on they felt they faced adversity. If you can take us to being in 9th grade, I mean, someone who might be listening right now had the same experience. I mean, talk about the roller coaster of emotions to not make the team. I mean, what, I mean, when we talk about the issues of self-confidence and self-worth, I mean, can you conjure up the sort of feelings, the anxiety, the fear, the things that, that were going through a ninth grader's head at that time?
Oh, of course. I mean, I think one, you know, to kind of, you know, make relevant the importance of your circle, you know, you don't want to go back. You want to quit. You know, you're sad. You're like all these things, and the importance of having great parents or a great coach or a great uncle or aunt around you to say, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, keep working hard. You're going to be all right. Because I remember for me, I remember that first, that just that basketball tryout, just so much anxiety. You step on the court. You don't really know anybody. It's something that you really want to do, because I'd been playing every day after school, practicing, you know, dribbling between my legs, practicing my moves. Right. And now I'm grade nine. I'm going out to play to make this team, you know, and you know, you're doing this drills with all these other young men. And it's a stressful situation, you know, and it's not like I really knew anybody out there. So you go out there, you play, you try to compete. And towards the end of that, to, you know, be told, oh, it was so close, you're almost there, but unfortunately, you know, we don't have an actual spot on the roster for you. And then, you know, but we like you, you're a good kid, you know,
right.
You can be the manager. You know, it's almost like, keep your manager job.
Right, right. I'm walking away.
Yeah.
I'm going to start drawing comics.
Right, exactly. Right. I'm going to do something else, right. You know, but, you know, again, parents surroundings, like, you know what, do the manager job. You know, it's at the end of the day, you're going to learn so much from that position, and you're still going to be around a game that you love. Basketball was like my dream. You know, my parents made us write every day. We were only allowed to watch an hour of television, and in my journal I wrote when I was 13 that I wanted to play basketball for the Chicago Bulls.
This was in Canada?
That was in my dream in Canada, yeah. And so of the three things I wrote, I wanted to, one, my first dream was to play basketball for the Bulls. And for whatever reason, I thought Michael Jordan would still be playing when I was there. I was just like, I'm going to play with Michael Jordan.
Timeless, right?
And then I wanted to be a veterinarian. I love dogs. And I was like a dog geek.
Football was not in the equation.
Football was not in it. It was basketball, a child psychologist, and a veterinarian.
Interesting.
You know?
All right, and here's what we'll do. Let's take a break, and because I want to come back and we can start fresh on how you were able to take the life lessons of your life and not only be able to, you know, have them relate to what you're doing now, but also how you were able to make a transition and make it to the highest level of sport. Israel Adonishe, my guest in studio, 11-year vet of the NFL, played most of his career with the Chicago Bears right here in town. We'll take a quick break, and we'll continue our conversation with Israel Adonishe. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest at the big table tonight, Israel Adonishe, the longtime Chicago Bear defensive lineman who now is an author. He was a comic book author before, but now he's got the Dream Kids Adventures. The books, the first in the series are I Love Football and I Love Me. They're sort of geared towards 2 to 6-year-olds. Yeah. They teach self-worth, self-confidence, issues like that. He's going to be at LitFest this weekend, Saturday, right down here in Printer's Row. Are you going to sign? What are you going to do? Are you going to talk to?
Well, I mean, always will
do
sign
readings?
Anyone, but we'll definitely. I'm going to do just a reading of the books and have the kids jump up and down.
I was going to say, what's it like to read books to 4-year-olds?
Well, it's funny. I actually worked all throughout university. I worked at an after school program in elementary school, so I've worked a lot with young kids. Now, recently, getting back into it, it's just like, oh my goodness! I did one reading. And they were all like really young, and the like first 30 minutes was like trying to break the ice with all these little kids who were like, who's this big scary guy? And there's a lot of crying. But by the end of it, you know, we were singing the rocket song, and I was lifting them up like they were blasting off to the moon. It was a lot of fun.
I guess you think about like a 4-year-old, if he's going to have a typecast of what a children's author is going to look like, I guess he's not going to be 6'8" or however tall you are, like a former football player, right?
Right. It's like, you know, a little granny.
Right. You know, we were just talking about, I mean, this almost turned into therapy, the idea of your cut stories. I mean, and that's kind of, I mean, that has been almost a primer for you in your career, because you played, you know, you made a transition to football. You were a guy who played in Canada, who came on to the Chicago Bears and before that, the Cleveland Browns. I mean, really, every time sort of being close to being cut or making the team, it wasn't until midway into your career where you actually had a solid footing here in Chicago. And does the experiences of developing self-worth, self-confidence, and the things that you're talking about in these books, and the experience you had of getting cut from the basketball team, do they all help for a career in which every 6 months you have to think about what your next move's going to be? The idea that they may say, Israel's a great football player, but he costs too much money. We're going to cut him on June 1st. I mean, you know, all those things that we don't really think about when we think about
the profession. I always say, like, perseverance and faith in oneself and confidence, it's like a muscle, you know, and after you've been cut and have bounced back, or after you've failed at something and have stood back up, and you look at yourself and you say, you know what, I'm okay. Your confidence muscle, your perseverance muscle gets a little stronger. And I experienced that, you know, being cut, being told, this guy will never make it. And, you know, getting there and being like, you know what, I'm surviving. I'm going to make it. I'll be okay. So with each experience, you get a little stronger and you get to a point where regardless, you know you're going to be okay. You know you'll be all right. And in sport, it really is one of those things that in life is for sure. In life, we all will face challenge. We all guaranteed will have ups and downs, different walks of life, different stories. But obstacle and challenge in life is guaranteed for all of us. And you know, sport has been great for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, for helping you to understand that you can fight through that. There's another game tomorrow. You can make another play tomorrow.
And that's all on the field.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, that's one thing. And then you take that as well to off the field, the idea of just being in the business of the NFL.
And it's very similar. I remember even with the comic book, originally I was just like, I've never done a comic book. Let me reach out to Marvel, reach out to DC. So I reached out to some people at Marvel Comics in DC, and they were just like, not so much. And you just keep going and you're like, okay. Then Ron Mars, who's a legend in the space, says, you know what? This is actually a new idea. Mm-hmm. And I can help you kind of craft it and shape it and turn it into something. I see what you're trying to do here. And he helps take it to the next level. And, you know, all these years later, we have this great property and we're having discussions about feature films and video games.
You're talking about the Protectors.
Yes.
I mean, the idea that they're almost superheroes who are super athletes, the idea that they're football players that turn into superheroes. Yeah. I mean, there's something real about that. Yeah. The idea that how we view you and how we view the people who are on the field, whether it be football or baseball, or that you are, you know, you're doing superhuman things. You're doing things that we can't do. And that's why we cheer for you. That's why we jeer, you know, like we don't cheer for you.
Exactly.
But talk about that. Talk about how that experience and the experience of being sort of in the lens, how that helps you artistically and creatively when you're coming up with something like The Protector.
Well, I think, you know, for me, you know, I always felt like being in the lens and being on that stage was a part of the platform. You know, so, you know, and I know some athletes have said, you know, we're not role models, we're not heroes, but I've always felt that there is a calling, there is a choice, and that us as athletes that kids look up to, you know, the connection to the comic world is you have the ability to change people's lives and to touch people's lives and sometimes save people's lives.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, I early on I realized and I felt that that was an opportunity. And although, like you said, for the most of my career, I was a special teams player. I was like the backup, you know, third string, the seventh guy in the game. But I always felt that even with that, you know, do what you can with your gift, with your ability, with what you have. And being under the lens has been incredible. And I think a part of the reason why I saw that, you know, and really why I wanted to tell that story of these athletes, that your ability in sport is actually a byproduct of this greater gift you have to change. The real gift is the ability to impact and influence lives.
Right. It's fascinating. And you know, as you mentioned, I mean, the idea of being a special teams player, the seventh guy in, you know, as an athlete, as someone who has performed, and I always hear this too, you know, you think about all of the people who make the NFL were all of their stars in high school or college. At this, you get the NFL, you were the star on the team in college.
Yeah.
And then you have to go into a situation where you're the seventh guy in, or your special teams, or every time it gets to, you know, the end of training camp, there's a sweat because you're not sure you're going to make the team.
Yeah.
How do you mentally prepare for that? How do you prepare yourself with all the things we just talked about, self-worth, self-confidence, all this stuff, to go into a situation where you were the best here and now you're not necessarily the best at this level?
Yeah. Well, it comes to the realization of there's only so much you can do. And actually, I had the pleasure today to spend part of the day with the Bears new rookie class. And we talked about some of those things. Like you need to focus on what you can control. So everyone's not going to get the same reps. Everyone's not going to get the same opportunity.
Interesting. Yeah.
But the opportunity that you do get, you control. And if you only get one snap, make a play that snap, make that play count. And, you know, that was really kind of the focus of my preparation. You know, I knew I was an underdog. I knew that, you know, coming in free agent, every reason for them to take the first rounder or the seventh round pick over me was there. So I had to come in better shape than him, you know. So one of the best pieces of advice that I received was be the standard. Be the standard, because at the end of the day, if you're the standard, Izzy, they cannot cut you. And that's what I carried into camp. And in all the sprints, I always wanted to come in first. I always wanted to know what the end, the three technique, and the nose were doing. So at any time, they could say, hey, play any position.
That played a huge role for you.
Huge.
I mean, I think that you became sort of known for that. The idea you could go inside or outside. In Lovie Smith's defense, that was you were in a huge part of the flexibility of that.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for that advice, because literally it was other guys were saying, I'm not doing anything else. And I'd be like, all right, I'll do it. You want me to cover a punt? I'm 280, right? Okay. I'll cover a punt. Right. And you're able to go down there and make a play. And, you know, the guy who was saying, I only do this one thing, you know, his locker's empty the next day. And it's just the harsh reality of versatility was really a key to keeping me in the game.
We're talking life. We're not even talking football anymore. Yeah. Israel Adonijé is in studio. He is the author of The Dream Kids Adventures, the series that's out. The first two books are out, I Love Football, I Love Me. Both of those for the 2 to 6-year-old range. He's going to be at Lit Fest at the Printer's Row Lit Fest, the old book fair down in Plymouth. This Saturday, he's going to be reading to the kids and signing. We'll continue our conversation here. He's my guest at the big table. We'll get tonight's news from Rob Martyr, and we'll continue here on the download. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download from 720 WGN. You can hear the pep in my voice. Israel Adonijé is in studio, and we were talking about the Super Bowl years.
Yeah.
Just shooting the breeze in the break. So, Israel Adonijé has hung up the cleats and the helmet, of course. 11 years in the NFL, most of it with the Chicago Bears. He is now an author. He's authored the Dream Kids Adventure series. The first two books, I Love Football and I Love Me. Both for 2 to 6-year-olds, children's literature, of course. And he does so much more. If charities as well. He's got some stuff coming up in July. We'll definitely promote that coming up here. But, you know, it's as we continue our conversation to think about, you know, the life side of this game. And to be a football player in Chicago who plays and has 11 years and to think most of them here in Chicago. And, you know, you say, oh, Israel Adonijé, what a career. They use the word career. He retired. He stepped away from the game. He retired. Yeah. You played as 11 years of your life. I mean, here you are talking about, I mean, you're a young guy. I mean, it's, you think about words like career and retire and to our listeners or to me, I'm 82 years old. And I'm like, thank you for listening for all these years. I mean, you played 11 years. I mean, talk about the idea of hanging it up, letting it go, and then starting a new chapter in your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's such an interesting, job, because you, when you retire and when you start getting considered being old, you're still really so young and as far as life goes. And, you know, for me, I knew it was towards the end. You know, I ended up going to Detroit that one year. My entire career, I've been a runner, so I've been able to run. My hamstrings were giving me issues, my quads, you know, being able to run, and just the body was telling me it was time to hang it up. And, you know, prior to that, I was willing to pay the price. I trained at this place called the House of Pain every summer, where you'd go and basically brutally just beat yourself up for, you know, a month. But after that month, the weapon would be ready to fight. You'd be in great shape. You could run for days. You were strong. And towards the end, I didn't want to spend a month at the House of Pain.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to beat myself up. And, you know, that's how I knew it was time. Just, I wasn't really necessarily ready to pay that price anymore. And had an opportunity at, you know, 2014, I was like, you know what? You know, my core business actually is manufacturing. I have a manufacturing business, and that was doing real well. And I was like, I'm ready. I've achieved all the things that I had, well, I've achieved or had come close to achieving all the things that I'd set out to do at 21 when I came to this great city of Chicago.
Wow.
And now, you know, at that time I was 34, and it was just like, you know what, it's time, and I'm thankful, and it's just the beginning. You know, it's just the beginning of the new chapter.
You know, you say that about the House of Pain, and it makes you recognize as a fan that, you know, we talk so much about the violent nature of the game.
Yeah.
The idea of your job as a defensive lineman is to crash into another offensive lineman on every single play.
Right.
There is contact. And the grueling nature of competing in practices. But you never really hear about the off season, the idea that you're going to a place that they call the House of Pain to brutally beat yourself up, to get ready to get beat up.
Right.
I mean, there is a significant physical toll beyond just what happens on Sundays in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that are paying the price before the season, and you know, I hope the fans appreciate it, because it's to provide them this product that'll ultimately allow the city and for the fans to win, and you know, we don't know the after effects yet. We'll know, but there's a lot of guys. I mean, you're beat up, you know, to train that hard, to push that hard preseason, go into the season to beat yourself up, you know, for 19 weeks or whatever it might be, and then to take a short period of time and reset and start doing it all over again, you know, to do that, you know, 5 years takes a toll on the body. So, you know, guys pay the price, and they do it because they love to compete, they love the game, and you know, for me, I mean, in this great city, it was so much fun, you know, represent, especially some of those years we had there defensively. It was incredible. I remember, you know, a handful of us, Wally Agunlie, you know, Tommy Harris, the D-line guys, we'd go out for dinner before every game, and we'd go to restaurants, and you know, that year, 05 in particular, we'd get standing ovations. We'd have people cheering for just like, hey, guys, come on, like, get it done. You know, good luck. And that passion, that love, is really a driver and provides this, that fire for
you can. So
for
you could
players.
Notice when the team was doing well in the 05-06 years and all that time. You could
nothing
notice
like
the town.
Nothing like it. I mean, I'm telling you, and people have told me, listen, if we lose, my week is done. You know, so
that's got to be weird. Is that weird? I mean, is that weird to like take all of that pressure and put it on your shoulders?
Yeah.
The idea that some guy like myself is sitting out in LaGrange, like, my week is over if Adonijé doesn't get this sack.
Yeah. Why don't you didn't block that field goal kick? You know. But that's the beauty and like the ugliness of the game. It's like, the pressure's there and, you know, but you win, you know, you make it to the playoffs and literally this entire city is just elevated. The energy everywhere, you just feel that vibration, because there's excitement in the air because, we're winning, you know, and that's, you know, that's what sport can do.
You know, sport as we know it and all the things that we've been talking about it, when we talk about life. Whether it be confidence or whether it decide the vibration, as you mentioned, winning, all that stuff is great. And then you get to the NFL and there's a business side to it. And we learn more and more about the things that have been covered up or things that may not be told to the fans.
Yeah.
We hear about the deteriorating health or the consequences of playing the game. When does it go from the life lessons, like you're teaching to 2 and 6 year olds, to something that's different?
I mean, unfortunately, it happens pretty quickly professionally. The harsh reality of the game is if you're not on the field, you can be replaced. And if you need to be on the field, you're a guy that they want, you know, more often than not, you get rushed back, especially in football. Most other sports that you look at, guys take all time. You know, guy gets a hangnail and he's like out for 2-3 weeks, and you're like, what? But in football, you know, you tear something or you know have MCL surgery, and the guy's back, you know, in just record time, and it's just, unfortunately, it's the harsh reality of the game and just how the game is structured, where it's the it's a culture of almost just toughness. You know, you got to fight through that injury, fight through the hurt. And that's just how the game is culturally, you know. And you know, old guys will tell you that we never drank water. You know, it's like, what? You know, like, whose idea was that? You know, but it's that culture has just carried on where, you know, I remember, you know, Kasim Mitchell, you know, fractured his leg and he played, you know, an entire quarter and a halftime with a fractured leg, you know, or guys who've broken, you know, fingers and thumbs. And it's just, that's the game. It's built on toughness.
There's a weird kind of thing around it for the fans too, where we're going to give you more love if you played through injury and pain.
And you know, that's all great for the game, but you also got to remember that these are people and that, you know, a fractured leg or a hand or a playing earlier on, I remember getting a brutal concussion. I was stuttering for almost a week. I had a stuttering issue just from a concussion I had. I could not form a full sentence without stuttering. But back then, I played the rest of the game. I concussed, I got up, and I played on, you know.
Reasons you just mentioned.
Yeah, and thankfully, you know, their leadership and the leagues are – you know, they're looking at that today. You get a concussion, you're done.
Right.
You know, you're out. So you know that, you know, the league and the bodies that govern the game are working towards making the game safer for the players.
For playing in your generation, and it's a very specific, unique generation of football because it got fast real quick. It was probably the generation we think of, like, almost the 2000s, right? 2000,
right?
It got to the point where every quarterback was faster running. You saw a whole different level of not just speed, but intensity, violence.
Yeah.
They've corrected the course a little bit in 2017. They've changed the rules in certain ways, and they didn't have to deal with it necessarily maybe in the 80s or 90s. When you think about the game and when you played and the idea that there were a lot of things that happened that the league just hadn't caught up on, concussions being one of them.
Yeah.
Are you worried about your future? I mean, you're a smart guy. You're doing a ton of stuff in business. You're writing. You're being creative. You're being artistic. But does that linger in your head about playing in that time?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's a window there when the game was ultra fast. And, you know, you could hit a guy full steam coming across the middle and take his head off. And the game went on, you know, or the number one thing a coach would say was head on a swivel. You got blindsided. It was because you weren't checking side to side. Now you can't do that, you know. So it took some time for them to kind of protect the guys, and you know, it was entertainment wise, it had the game on another level. But for me,
and your defense, you took advantage of that.
Yeah.
The way that you were a fast defense, and you were the guys that were head on a swivel. You were the guys hitting across the middle. You were entertaining Chicago with this defensive mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I think, you know, I think it'd be naive to say that playing 11 years, the hits that I've taken may not have some sort of effect on my body. And even, you know, I took 12 months off. I didn't do anything when I retired. I felt horrible, you know. So the importance of continuing to actively engage my body, you know, I've lost 20, 30 pounds, you know, continue to work out nowhere near at the same intensity, but to still keep the weapon sharp, you know, the mind is important,
right?
So just to stay sharp, you know, you cannot relax, you know, to stay, you know, granted, I'm not preparing to face a 350-pound guy every week in our office, you know, but finding ways to keep your mind focused and keep your mind sharp and to keep engaged and to do things that allow you to not deteriorate, because, you know, if you're inactive and if you don't, you know, deterioration and breakdown,
that's a part of it.
It's a part of it.
Israel Adonijah is my guest. We're talking about he's going to be at Litfest this weekend, the former Chicago Bear, 11 years in the NFL, played on some of the greatest defensive units Chicago has ever seen. I mean, we all hail the 85 Bears, but Lovey's defensive unit, which Israel Adonijah was a part of, holds high esteem to Bears fans everywhere. The books are Dream Kids Adventures. The books are called I Love Football and I Love Me. And they're part of a series about teaching self-worth and self-confidence to children, to 2 years to 6 years old. You also do a lot with your charities, and you always see Israel Adonijah Charities or Foundation. Now it's the IF Charities. I want to ask this question in a way that, I mean, it's a big question. It's a general question.
Yeah.
But the idea that you've spent time now in Chicago, like you said, since you're 21 years old, you went to Detroit for a little bit. We'll forgive you for that. But the idea that you've been doing charitable work during that time, you've gotten to know the city from being on a pedestal, meaning watching, you know, everyone enjoying you as entertainment. But at the same time, you've been able to become a civic leader, if you will, with what you do with your charitable foundation. What is Chicago to you? And also, what does it have to do to be a better city?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chicago to me is really, you know, one of North America's greatest cities. It's an incredible city, and it's especially for me because, you know, I got here at 21. I was a kid, you know, and I became a man in the city. I grew up here in the city, surrounded by, great mentorship and support and great people. And really all of the things, many of the things that make Chicago so great, you know, I had the fortune to experience firsthand and in some capacity, those things, those components touched my life, allowing me to develop to this person that I am today. I think as far as, you know, development to make the city better.
Yeah.
There's so many other things going on. There's a lot of challenges and there's, you know, some dust in the corners of our city. And, you know, when you look at those issues that need to be tackled, they're big things. So there's not necessarily one component that you can point to and say, you know what, you need to provide after school programs to solve this issue. You need to provide, you know, funding for this to solve issues. There's a lot of different components. And you know, that's why I say ultimately it's really a, from top to bottom, it's, and I know everybody wants to talk violence first, even for myself, people always want to talk about the violence in Chicago. You know, solving violence or solving, well, that in particular, you know, it starts with providing opportunities. You know, I think most people in any area of life, going through any struggle or any journey, if you ask them, do you want better for yourself? Do you want better for your children? 100% of them would say yes.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, so that really comes with providing opportunity. And the question, you know, and that I've been at some tables discussing is how do you do that?
Right.
You know, because you can't just throw money at an issue. You know, it has to be a comprehensive plan that allows resource to be used in a way that's going to give people a direct path to earn the opportunities that can transform their lives and their lives beyond. So, you know, I think that when it comes to, you know, anything, homelessness, hunger, violence, education, you know, there are a lot of great groups in the city doing work. What I think would be key or a massive step in the right direction is all these silos of groups that are swinging the axe and doing the work. You know, if we can come together and you know, those people that are focused on doing things that are targeted at homelessness, let's get everybody together and say, hey, together, let's talk about this issue and can we solve this issue? There's a lot of groups, you know, activating around violence. Well, let's all get together at this table and say, we don't want to solve everything, but together, can we solve this one thing and take that approach? Because it's through unification, I think through brain share, mind share, that
team.
Well, exactly.
Right.
You know, teams win. And you taking a team approach to the city. Not that it's going to be easy, but I've always found, you know, lifting something heavy is much easier when you have people helping you.
Israel Adonijé is going to be at the Lit Fest. He will have his own table. He'll be signing books. He's going to be reading to the kids. Dream Kids Adventure Series books. The first two, I Love Football and I Love Me. He also does the comic book The Protectors. And he's the man behind IF Charities, which will be having their 11th annual All-Star Football and Cheer Camp on June 17th. And also the annual fundraising event, Evening with IF Charities, on July 20th. You can get all the information at ifcharities.org. Israel Adonijé, is my pleasure to have you here. I really appreciate you coming in and being my guest at the big table.
Justin, thank you. It was an honor and a privilege. Lots of fun.